evening. Tonight, we're going on a journey around this world and into the next. Our ultimate destination, heaven. The promise of heaven is one of the most powerful and motivating beliefs in human history. Some spend their lives doing good works to get there. Others kill in the name of heaven. But is heaven an actual place, or could it be a myth dreamed up to give our lives meaning? Over the next 2 hours, we'll explore heaven with leaders of the major faiths, with people who say they've been there, with celebrities, and even with terrorists. So join us now as we begin our journey to what most people believe is a better place.
Well, that's Barbara Walters, the opening to her special last night. 2 hours of television on heaven, where is it, and how do we get there? She said, trying to answer this question, a journey through the various faiths to try and get a handle on it. How do you think they did? I want to hear from you during the next hour or so on Issues Etc. Open Lines. We'll be listening to more of the special, some excerpts short, some a bit longer. And I want to know what you thought about Barbara Walters' special on heaven, where is it, and how do we get there? Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I mean, it's quite a thing to devote 2 hours to a subject, and this is a subject that has obviously very broad appeal. 90% of people believe that there is a heaven in the United States. Most of those people believe they're going there. The interest is wide. How do you think they did in exploring all the avenues? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, this first piece is on an interview in the midst of the entire conversation Barbara Walters was having last night between Barbara Walters and the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. He's been on our program, Pastor Ted Haggard. She's asking him kind of the standard questions that she gave most of her guests on the program last night. So what do evangelicals believe about heaven? We'll be stopping and starting this one and asking for your response as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's Barbara Walters with Ted Haggard on what evangelicals believe about heaven.
Prepare the way for Jesus.
This is Christianity at its most energetic. America's evangelicals see themselves as the purest version of the faith, with a God-given mission to save the world. Now they are bigger, louder, and more influential than ever. The most vocal force in U.S. religion. 28,000 evangelicals pack a Houston arena every week.
Isn't it great that we can all come together to celebrate the good things God has done?
Pastor Joel Osteen's televised sermons attract 7 million viewers on Sunday mornings.
God has great things in store for you. There's no obstacle too big.
Well, we're going to talk about children.
Pastor James Dobson's radio broadcast called Focus on the Family reaches 200 million listeners daily.
Would you give a warm welcome to our pastor, please?
Pastor Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life is one of the best-selling nonfiction books of all time.
If you want to know why your heart's beating right now, God made you to love you.
At the New Life Church in Colorado Springs, America's mecca of evangelicalism, elaborately staged shows give biblical stories Broadway pizzazz with concert lighting, smoke effects, and rock music to keep pace with the times and to pack in the faithful. Pastor Ted Haggard leads his 11,000-member congregation through this multimedia extravaganza of worship. Evangelicals have no pope or central authority, but as president of the National Association of Evangelicals, Pastor Haggard represents 30 million evangelical Christians. What is an evangelical?
An evangelical, there are three characteristics. One is they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior. Two, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, that God breathed the Scriptures into the heart of the Bible authors, and the Bible authors wrote. And three, we believe that people must be born again.
What does it mean to be born again?
To be born again means that the Spirit of God joins with your spirit and makes you a brand new person, a new creation. Here's how I like to describe it, Barbara. It's a slice of heaven coming in to earth. And when that moment of believing comes, that's when you are born again.
For Haggard, the son of an Indiana veterinarian, that moment came when he was a teenager.
When the Lord touched me, my life changed. I was a high school kid, sexually active with my girlfriend, drunk every weekend, and then I went to a stadium, and I heard a guy explain to me that I could be born again. And the Spirit of the Lord touched me that night. And when I went back, I told my girlfriend, I want to be your friend, but we can't be sexually active anymore. I was a 16-year-old boy. And from that moment until this moment, if I even smell alcohol, I throw up.
I lift my eyes up unto the mountain.
Now we're just going to pause it here for a second before they go on here. Very interesting, the first little segment on evangelicals, kind of setting the stage. You got Joel Osteen. Oddly enough, since the show is about heaven, I've reviewed a lot of Joel Osteen sermons, read his best-selling book. I don't think he ever mentions heaven in any of those things. But Joel Osteen is the pastor of the largest church in the U.S. So then comes, she says it was Pastor James Dobson, is in fact Dr. James Dobson. He's included there among the evangelicals. And then, of course, Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life. He's all about earning rewards in heaven. Remember that? I mean, I'm really surprised they did not interview him, because he's had a lot to say about heaven in those books. Really, to tell you the truth, The Purpose-Driven Life is all about earning heavenly rewards. You know, Jesus gets you to heaven, but it's up to you to do the rest and earn your heavenly rewards and kind of build your mansion in the sky. Really odd that they did not interview him. So I was a little surprised, but they did interview Pastor Ted Haggard. Pastor Haggard has already talked there about his born-again experience. Now, this is all leading toward the subject of heaven. If you saw this last night, Barbara Walters' two-hour special on heaven, where is it? How do we get there? What did you think of it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're listening to pieces of this. This is still more of what evangelicals, and here the interview with Pastor Ted Haggard continues, what evangelicals think heaven is.
While fasting and praying in the Colorado mountains as a young man, Haggard says he envisioned what he would later call a new Jerusalem in Colorado Springs. He describes his new life church as modern one-stop shopping for the religious.
Kids, does he need a first aid kit in heaven?
There are special programs, like biblical puppet shows for the kids.
God, I know that it is your heart's desire that we would come to you, Lord Jesus, that we would know you.
And meetings of 20-somethings enthusiastically professing their faith.
God, I just ask, Lord God, that you come down, Lord God. God, come, Jesus.
The promise of heaven plays a central role in the lives of Pastor Haggard's followers. Describe the evangelical view of heaven.
Heaven is a place.
An actual place.
It's an actual place.
Where?
It's a literal place. Up there.
Someplace.
The atmosphere that we're in right now is the first heaven. And then outer space, the second heaven. And then there's a place where God is. And we have treasures in heaven. There's reward in heaven. I think there are neighborhoods in heaven. Jesus said he went to prepare mansions for us. And heaven is a place where you can eat all you want and never get heavy. There's all kinds of food and pastries in heaven except devil's food cake.
I'm sure you've said that before, but okay.
Heaven's not an abstract idea. It's not a state of mind. It's a place. It's wonderful, and it's worth it for us to go there.
What are the rules for entering heaven?
There is only one guaranteed way to go to heaven.
Which is?
According to the Scripture, that's through Jesus Christ.
Now, before he goes on, I want you to take note of what he said. He's going to say it again. Remember, the special is where heaven is. They've already established that. It's a real place. Ted Haggard believes that it's beyond outer space. I guess there's nothing wrong with that. But Scripture does not say that there isn't an actual geographical location. So he's taking an interpretation from Paul's words about ascending to the third heaven in a vision and saying, well, the first heaven is the atmosphere, second heaven is where the stars and the planets are, and then the third heaven is beyond this where God dwells. Okay, fine and good. And he says that it is a marvelous place where you can eat as much as you want and not get heavy. And there are neighborhoods, and it's a great place. It sounds like, I don't know. This is really interesting, except devil's food cake. That's not there. Now, that was a joke. That was a joke. What does strike me, however, is also, and you'll hear it in some of the other Christians and even in the non-Christians when they describe heaven as we play it for you, very suburban. Heaven sounds like the suburbs. Nice suburbs. I mean, I'm talking not even Ladue, maybe even like De Pere. That's what we're talking. Nice suburbs. But the suburbs, neighborhoods. You play, you have the friends over, you eat, you have people over for pie. I doubt any barbecues. That's going to be, I mean, I speak from the flesh here for a moment, but I'm going to miss barbecue. I'm really going to miss barbecue. I'm sure God has something better than barbecue. But very suburban. But notice what he said. There's only one guaranteed way to heaven. And my ears perked up when I first heard this, and I thought, what? Only one guaranteed way to heaven. You mean there are other ways, but they're not guaranteed? So let's let him finish his thought, and then I'll take some phone calls here on what you thought of Barbara Walters' Heaven special. Let's let him finish his thought on what he means by only one guaranteed way to heaven.
But what if you're not born again?
Yeah, if you're not born again, then you don't have the assurance
of going to heaven.
Life. Right.
Jesus loves me, then I know.
Critics say the evangelicals and other conservative Christian groups inappropriately apply the Bible's lessons to fit their agendas on social issues like abortion, stem cell research, euthanasia, and same-sex marriage. Do homosexuals who believe in Jesus Christ go to heaven?
Homosexuals, lesbians, Republicans, Democrats, everybody.
If they believe in Jesus Christ.
Can respond to the love of God and Jesus Christ on the cross and have a guarantee of eternal life.
If a woman has an abortion,
she can be forgiven.
But if you do not believe in Jesus, mm-hmm. and you believe in a different God or no God.
Right. There's no guarantee.
Right. But Jews do not believe in Jesus. Muslims do not believe in Jesus. Buddhists do not believe in Jesus. They don't go to heaven.
Then they have to work that out. They have to work out their own eternal life. And there's no guarantee provided for them.
Now, I'm concerned at this point. I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. Christians have a guarantee in Jesus Christ. The other people, they got to work it out. There's no assurance for them. Now, that's very different from saying Christians. Well, did Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No one can be guaranteed of coming to the Father except by me. Or did he say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? No one can be completely certain of coming to the Father except by me. Did he say he was the surest way to heaven? Or did he say he was and is the only way? There's a difference there. There is a difference. And if one kind of opens the doors Ted Haggard has in these comments, that while Jesus is the way, what he really is the only certain way of going to heaven. The other ways might, who knows? They'll have to work it out, the Muslims, the atheists. Did Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the most certain way to the Father. And apart from me, you'll have to work it out yourself. Those who try to come to the Father except by me, they'll have to work it out themselves. That's an odd way of talking about the way to heaven. Something less than what Jesus said. If you ask me, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Haggard seems to be clear on where it is, how we get there. Well, he knows of one certain way, and the others, they can work it out for themselves. Let's talk with Norma, who calls from her car. Norma, thank you for waiting, and welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I thought, Todd, that there was way too many people who thought that man had to do something or could do something on his own to get himself to heaven. It just amazes me how many people today call themselves Christians, and they think that good works is something that they must do in order to get to heaven. They just don't get it, because Scripture does not say that at all.
That struck me as well, Norma. Thank you very much. I mean, that's that and the fact that when the Christians talked about heaven, they talked about the cake and the pastries and the neighborhoods and the great stuff. And a lot of them are talking about it in terms of being young. There's suburbia coming out again, young and beautiful. No Jesus. No fact that Jesus is going to be there. I mean, that's the best thing about heaven, isn't it? Not the food. That'll be great. But the best thing about heaven, the thing that makes heaven heaven, is Christ is there. And we are with him, finally, in the body, completely, all promises kept. That's the best thing. Jerry's on the line. Jerry, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for reviewing this. I didn't watch every minute, but I watched enough. Whatever God wants to give us when we get to heaven, I'll be quite appreciative. You know, I don't care about the food or anything. But what I wanted to mention is, you said that you noted that Jesus' name was not mentioned at all, you said. And I think kind of like maybe this shows the fear of the power inherent in the name of Jesus Christ, and people just won't mention his name because of that fear. And also belief in Jesus Christ. Yeah, you can believe in Jesus Christ, but that includes following his commands. And if you want to know what those are, you read and study your Bible to find out. It's not just I believe I'm going to heaven. You've got to dedicate your life and give your life over to Jesus Christ and to God to guide you and, you know, teach you and all of that. And reading the Bible, you can get a silent inspiration from the Holy Spirit. There's much more than just believing. There's much more work to be done by us. And I know some people say, well, we can't do anything, but we can certainly read the Bible. We can certainly ask for the inspiration, the silent inspiration that the Holy Spirit gives us. And
Jerry, thanks for the call. I don't agree. If we're asking the question, where is the certainty of my eternal life? That lies only, solely, completely, entirely in Jesus and in the life he lived and gave at the cross for me. That's where the certainty is. And in nothing else. Now, does all of that given to me as a gift lead to a life, the kind of life that Ted Haggard was describing? A different life? Of course it does. Of necessity, not because it's necessary for eternal life, but it follows of necessity. It necessarily follows. Now, Ted Haggard did mention Jesus, faith in Jesus Christ. What I'm talking about when I say they didn't mention Jesus is when they describe heaven, it's like they're there, mom's there, grandma's there, Barky the dog is there, and the most important person who's there is not mentioned, Jesus himself. We're listening to some of the audio from Barbara Walters' special last night, 2 hours on where is heaven and how do we get there. One more phone call, and then we'll go back to the audio on what evangelicals think about heaven. Keith is calling from his car. Keith, welcome.
Good afternoon, Pastor. It appeared to me that the fellow on the Barbara Walters show was given an opportunity to be faithful to God's word, and by qualifying his answer with the word guarantee, he was instead faithless, and he essentially denied the exclusivity of the atoning death of Christ to effect the reconciliation of sinners to God. And I also thought that his answer concerning the woman and abortion being able to be forgiven hinted that he may be lacking an understanding of the gospel when he spoke of forgiveness as a potential.
Oh, that's very insightful, Keith. Thank you very much. Maybe a better answer, I hadn't even thought about it, maybe a better answer is, well, these are precisely the people for whom Jesus bled and died. Rather than, well, they can be forgiven. He did put the onus on the, when she asks about the homosexual, all the different people, and he's like, well, yes, Muslim, Jew, Republican, Democrat, they all can avail themselves of the opportunity. Heaven is an opportunity, not a sure and certain promise. Yeah, there's a different understanding there, but I agree with you. Christ's claim to be the only way is exclusive. Exclusive is like the word perfect. Exclusive, anything less than exclusive isn't exclusive. You can't be 90% exclusive, just like it can't be 90% perfect. Perfect is perfect, and anything less isn't perfect. And the same thing is true of exclusive. So when you say, well, Jesus is the only guaranteed way of salvation, that word guaranteed qualifies, modifies, and mitigates the whole exclusive claim of Jesus Christ, who didn't say, I'm the only guaranteed way. He said, I'm the only way. Period. Back to what evangelicals think about heaven.
I'm not saying that I know conclusively everything that happens to everybody, but here's what I know. Jesus Christ guarantees eternal life to anybody that'll follow him.
Okay. If a person does not accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, does he go to hell?
Yes.
But what if the God is not Jesus Christ? What if it's a different God? Do they go to hell?
I think so.
You do?
Unfortunately.
Pastor Ted, you're a very intelligent man.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay. I appreciate it.
Okay. First comes a compliment, then
okay,
comes a
all right, here we go.
You know that there are a great many people who feel that evangelicals are very judgmental, that your way is the only way, that everybody else, as you say, has to work it out.
Well, we're not pointing fingers. We're just grateful for what God has done for us, and we're just offering that to other people.
Does God mean for you to be so judgmental?
Well, I don't mean to be judgmental, but there are certain things that are true. If you drink water, you'll be healthier. If you drink Drano, you won't. And so somebody may look at that and say, but I have a conviction that drinking Drano will be wonderful for me. Well, and I would be judgmental and probably narrow-minded and say, you know what? You really need to set aside the drinking of Drano and drink some water.
Now, his illustration there is, that's a good illustration. I kind of like that illustration. Although I think the answer could have been a little more forceful. I mean, the question is, does God really want you evangelicals to be so judgmental? Now, the thing she says is judgmental about evangelicals is something that Ted Haggard, she had to practically wring it out of him. I mean, at first he's saying, well, Jesus is the only guaranteed way of salvation. He's the only way you can really be certain of salvation. There's no assurance apart from him. You will all have to work it out. And then when pressed, what if the God that someone worships is another God? Do they go to hell? When she brings up the subject of hell, then he says, yeah, I think they do go to hell. So when pressed against the wall, he does hold an exclusive view. That's good. Well, Barbara, you know, as the reporter she is, says, isn't that judgmental? I was thinking, how would I respond to that? And just off the top of my head, maybe, it's as judgmental as any other religion that claims to have the truth. It's as judgmental as, in fact, do you think I'm wrong in saying that Jesus is the only way of salvation? Well, yes, I do. Well, then how could you be so judgmental? You're judging me. See, but this is what I think is good about Haggard's initial response. When Christians say Jesus is the only way of salvation, the emphasis is not primarily upon that you're not going to heaven, but upon the one who is the guarantee, the only guarantee of it.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, etc.
We all know the shepherds played a major role in the Christmas story. The angel of the Lord announced the Messiah's birth to the humblest, lowest people, not to kings in their palaces or priests in their temples. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for December is a children's Christmas book titled The Shepherd's Christmas Story. This beautifully illustrated book contains imagery of the 23rd Psalm, the Good Shepherd, and the Lamb of God. You can find out more about The Shepherd's Christmas Story on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Why not spend some time reading The Shepherd's Christmas Story with your young child or grandchild? The book costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. The Shepherd's Christmas Story, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Terry Phillips, sitting in for Bob Dittmer. Organizations on the far left have formed something of an alliance dedicated to portraying Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito as a radical and out of the so-called mainstream. Groups supporting Alito are gearing up to warn Americans of what is essentially a smear campaign. Bill Wilson reports.
They call themselves the Coalition for a Fair and Independent Judiciary, but it's really a front for extreme liberals who want the Alito nomination scuttled. Kurt Levy of the Committee for Justice.
Their members include gay rights groups, abortion activists, hardcore environmentalists, powerful labor unions, feminists, anti-war activists, racial minorities, and anti-religion advocates.
Ed Whalen of the Ethics and Public Policy Center says the left is employing an old strategy of claiming that conservative means extreme.
This mode of attack is the left's standard method of operation. It's the main play in a not very long, not very sophisticated playbook.
Capital Research Center's Terry Scanlon says these groups are well-funded and come January will be spending millions to defeat Alito.
They have a total of $155 million in annual revenues and $212 million in assets.
Levy says the fight is critical to the far left because they depend on the courts to accomplish what they can't convince legislatures to do.
In other words, the success of their agendas depends on a liberal activist judiciary that is willing to legislate from the bench and create new rights.
At the moment, consensus is Alito will be confirmed, but not without a battle. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bill Wilson in Washington.
A website of the coalition lists among their leaders the ACLU, the National Abortion Federation, several homosexual activist groups, and MoveOn.com's parent. For Family News in Focus, I'm Terry Phillips.
On the next Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 Thursday in AM 850 KFUO, join Joni Harwell and me, Diane Summers. We'll have a conversation with Dr. Stephanie Van Olff, our expert psychiatrist from Heartland Human Services in Effingham. And we'll be talking about challenges facing us on this most wonderful time of the year. Give us a call. She's at our service for the entire hour, Thursday on Living Jubilee on AM 850 KFUO.
Popular author Dandy Daly McCall has written our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, titled The Shepherd's Christmas Story. It's a Christmas book for young children. The Shepherd's Christmas Story is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The cost is $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or find out more about The Shepherd's Christmas Story on our website, issuesetc.org. The Shepherd's Christmas Story.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Boy, you even put a nice bow on this thing. Matt Peters from Richmond Heights, one of our listeners, gave both Jeff and I each a bottle of California Cabernet Sauvignon, 2003 vintage. I have not opened it yet. Mine is sitting at home. By the way, hey, don't leave this in your car. It'll freeze. Okay? Yeah, you don't want wine to freeze. Take it home, put it in a nice, cool, and poorly lit place, and enjoy. Enjoy. Matt, thank you very much. I appreciate the Christmas gift. And by the way, anybody else wants to drop off a Christmas gift, there are only 4 days until Christmas. It's 85 Founders Lane right here. It's right down at the end of the road. Just look for the tower. I may not be here, but leave it on my desk. Give it to Jeff. Really. No, you cannot drink it on the way home. You cannot. I know you want to do that, but don't. We're hearing some audio from the Barbara Walters special last night. Heaven, where is it? How do we get there? Well, part of that answer is given in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. It's a children's book. If you're like us, we've got The Night Before Christmas and Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph and the Little Drummer Boy sitting there, these children's books. And even when the kids get older, you open up these books and you read them perhaps as part of your family time around the Christmas holiday. This is a great book. It's The Shepherd's Christmas Story for you and your kids, beautifully illustrated. Your kids can read it to you. That's a good thing to begin. It's $12.99 plus shipping and handling. You can order it by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number is 1-800-325-3040. Make a great last-minute Christmas gift for your kid or your grandkid. 1-800-325-3040, or find it at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Look for The Shepherd's Christmas Story, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. Ellen calls from Baldwin. Hi, Ellen.
Oh, hello, Pastor Wilkins. You know, when I listened to that last night, I guess by the time the program ended, I thought not one of the people she interviewed out of any of the religions, including the Christians, not one even hinted at it, that the only reason why anybody will get there is because of God's mercy and that we're so undeserving. And that's really what kind of impressed me. I thought, gee, even in the Christian realm, are we Lutherans the only people who look at it like that? Because the Catholic priest, he talked about doing your works, you know. And but I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Ellen, thank you. That's also something I would not have thought of, but thank you for bringing it up. You know, even Ted Haggard, when asked, how do you get to heaven? And he talks about, well, the one guaranteed way of getting to heaven is faith in Jesus Christ. No mention of sin. Why would I even need to ask that question? I mean, maybe he should have responded by saying, Barbara, why are you even asking that question? Why wouldn't we assume that everyone goes to heaven as so many people do? Well, because we don't deserve it. We've done everything not to deserve it. It is, we were created for it, but we have forfeited it by our sin. And therefore, we need someone who, with a sinless life and a sinless sacrifice on our behalf, can open the way to heaven again for us sinners through God's mercy. And that is found in Jesus Christ. That's not hard to say. That was just off the cuff. I'm not the president of any national association anything. And that's just off the cuff. It's very easy to say. Yes, God's mercy was strangely missing also because any mention of sin was oddly missing from the conversation. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's Charles. He's calling from Chesterfield. Hi, Charles.
Yeah, good afternoon, Todd. First of all, regarding your comment about the gifts you got, that's one of the byproduct perks of being a radio talk show host, huh? Not a bad deal.
Yes, it is. It's also, during my days as a parish pastor, one of the perks. Good Christmas gifts for pastors.
You betcha. Regarding the comment about Ted Haggard's answer to Barbara Walters about being judgmental, being in his statement that Jesus was indeed the only way, what I was really waiting for, and I really, really, really wish he would have used a scripture to take the onus off of the Christian, well, not the onus, but the onus off of our statements, our words, is that he would have used the scripture that Jesus himself said, the way, the truth, and life, no one comes to the Father but by me. It's not the Christians that are being judgmental, so to speak. It's Jesus himself, and either Jesus was, like it was said, Jesus was a liar, a deceiver, or else he is the Lord. And that's the one I was really looking for, and I wish you would have handled that one. But that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you very much for the call. I wish he would have said that, too. We, you know, we had Dr. Albert Moeller on the program some time back, and he made that kind of argument in the face of the objection that Christians are too exclusive, too judgmental. And he said, now this is kind of a rhetorical argument, because Christians ought to rejoice in the will and plan and foreknowledge of God, regardless of what it is, because it's good. But he says, look, this wasn't my plan. This isn't my system. This isn't me saying I am the way, the truth, and the life, or Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This is Jesus himself. Take it up with Jesus. Your argument is not with me, it is with Jesus. I have no argument with Jesus. Thanks, Charles. All right, there's just a little tiny bit left here of what evangelicals think of heaven, and then we got some more audio from Barbara Walters' special last night, Heaven, Where Is It, and How Do We Get There?
I don't want to communicate a bad attitude or anything like that, but the issue is, this is a guarantee for eternal life.
Living God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our president. We thank you for President George W. Bush, Father God.
The evangelical movement's political influence was never more apparent than in last year's presidential campaign.
Well, I think heaven's like this, or I think hell's like that, or...
Leading up to the election, Haggard campaigned vigorously, encouraging his congregation to re-elect the president. According to exit polls, George Bush won 79% of the over 26 million evangelical Christian votes, enough to win re-election. Is President Bush an evangelical?
Yes, he is. He's a born-again, he's a United Methodist, born-again, Bible-believing man.
Is Laura Bush an evangelical?
She is.
She has been born again?
Yes, as far as I know.
Okay, now, Revelations, the last book in the Bible, says that life will end in an apocalypse, a horrific war.
Life as we know it will end.
As we know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that point, who goes to heaven?
There will be a day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will be a new Jerusalem. There will be peace. And the criteria is all the same.
To believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven.
The will of God is done fully in heaven. Nobody's sick. Nobody's angry. Nobody's bitter. Nobody's disappointed. And so what we pray is, thy will be done here as it is in heaven.
What is the purpose of life on earth?
The purpose of life is to glorify God and go to heaven. Because heaven is our home.
All right, that's it for the evangelicals there, what they think of heaven. Now, do you think that was representative? If you consider yourself an evangelical, was that representative of what you believe about heaven? Ted Haggard is the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. That little piece on the politics of evangelicals and George W. Bush, I don't know what it had to do with the subject of heaven. I mean, at least you could have asked the question, does the president believe the same thing you do about heaven? To which Ted Haggard could really only answer, you'd have to ask him. So I don't know what that was doing in there. Although it is a little disturbing if he was actually campaigning for the president from the pulpit throughout 2001. If you're a member of his church, and what if you didn't think George Bush should be reelected? Would that put you in doubt of whether or not you're really, truly born again when your pastor's saying reelect him? Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. Your reaction to Barbara Walters' special on where heaven is and how we get there. It aired last night. We've got audio from it today and tomorrow as time permits. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've got a lot more to play from you in the time left here. But did it meet your expectations? Did you think something was there that, wow, I didn't think they'd do that? Or something that you were hoping would be said, that's what most of our callers have been calling in on, something you were hoping would have been said or highlighted that simply was missing from Barbara Walters' Heaven special. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I'll be honest with you folks, I did not have an opportunity to see it. I've heard it, but I didn't have an opportunity to see it. I didn't get home till 9:30 last night, and the television didn't come on till about 10:30. Which is the way things usually run in the Wilkin house. There's an awful lot to do when Dad gets home. But I want to hear from you, of those of you who did see it. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or if you're hearing through our audio for the first time, your reaction as well. Let's talk to Nick, who's calling from Manchester. Hi, Nick. All right, let's move to Mike, who's calling from Belleville. Hi, Mike.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, I'm just turned on to your program, and you may have been talking about this, but I watched the program last night. And my concern about Ted Haggard, he talked about heaven being a guaranteed. Well, I agree that it is a guarantee for Christians. But the implication came across to me was that we as Christians have a guarantee, but everybody else may have a chance.
Yes, that was definitely... Even at the end, after he said that people who worship a different God, he thinks probably will go to hell, even at the end, the possibility was left that other people, apart from Christians, could make it to heaven. It's just not guaranteed.
Oh, correct. Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought that he said that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike. Yeah, it definitely sticks with you when you hear it. It does sound an awful lot. You know, we talk a lot on the program about how evangelicals are like Roman Catholics without a pope and without candles and robes. And it's ever so true when you hear Ted Haggard say, well, you know, Jesus is the guaranteed way. What about other people? Well, they'll have to work it out. We have a guarantee. Apart from Jesus, you don't really have any assurance of eternal life. It sounds a lot like the Roman Catholic teaching of anonymous Christianity, where they will very clearly in their catechism say, look, for the Muslim or the Hindu or the Buddhist of goodwill, while we can't say for sure that they are guaranteed eternal life, if they live according to the dictates of their conscience, not openly hostile toward Christianity, then yes, probably them too. Sounds a lot like anonymous Christianity. Speaking of Roman Catholics, one of those interviewed by Barbara Walters last night was Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. He's Archbishop of Washington, D.C., perhaps one of the more influential Roman Catholics in the United States, perhaps even in the world. And they talked about angels and heaven.
We believe that they are the ones who take care of us. They are the messengers of God. They're the ones who are God's very special friends and his servants.
Cardinal Theodore McCarrick is the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. and Chancellor of Catholic University. Do you have a personal vision of heaven?
I always think of heaven as being a place where we won't have any troubles anymore. Heaven is a place where there'll be peace and tranquility, and I'm looking forward to meet my mom and dad and the rest of my family.
Does the body go to heaven?
We believe it does. We believe that there's a resurrection of the body.
And how will you look? Will you look the way you do now?
Well, I'm expecting to have my hair back. I think we will look as we would want to look.
I must ask you a delicate question. If when you go to heaven you are reunited with your loved one, let's say with your wife, husband, is there sex in heaven?
That was a question they asked the Lord. And he said, no, there are no giving and taking in marriage in heaven because this is, you're on a different plane. You have no need for these things which give joy on earth because your joy comes from the Lord.
Now that's Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, and he's talking about angels in heaven and what heaven will be like. Some kind of honest childlike questions from Barbara Walters. What did you think about the response here? He does talk about being at peace with the Lord, the purpose of life to be at peace with the Lord and enjoy eternal life. More general than Ted Haggard. Of course, the questions were more general, too. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. This audio comes from Barbara Walters' two-hour special last night on ABC. Heaven, where is it? How do we get there? I understand it was a real ratings boon as well. Here's more from Cardinal Theodore McCarrick.
If indeed we do believe that our purpose is not life on earth but to go to heaven, why struggle against death?
Well, there you are.
Where?
You have come in a very wonderful, special way to an understanding of what religion is all about. And religion basically says to us that the purpose of life is to come to the end of your life at peace with the Lord so that you may find an eternal happiness in heaven.
Now, she might have asked him, how is that? How is that purpose achieved? The question didn't make it onto the air, so I don't know whether he gave an answer to that question. No answer really provided at that point. And the real question is how, isn't it? Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, reviewing some audio from the two-hour special last night from Barbara Walters. You know, she can do this, and the questions she's asking, it strikes me at certain points, the questions she's asking are questions only a female reporter could ask. She's asking about, is there sex in heaven? If a male reporter asked that question, it would just seem uncouth. Then, it was yesterday, we saw some footage from her appearing on The View, the show with the women who sit around the table and eat Danish and drink coffee and talk about things. That was the subject they wanted to talk about, was sex in heaven. Well, here's the Reverend Calvin Butts. He's well known. He's a pastor of New York's Abyssinian Baptist Church. in Harlem.
There is a heaven.
Reverend Calvin Butts, pastor of New York's famed Abyssinian Baptist Church, says he remembers many visions of heaven over the years.
It's peace. No tears, no mourning, no suffering. It's eternal joy and happiness because you are at one with God.
And just at the moment that I'm ready to feel sorry for myself, God lets a vision of rapture burst on my sight.
Do you meet friends and relatives who have died?
I have seen their faces, and I have heard their voices.
Reverend Butt says he heard the voice of his deceased grandmother at her funeral.
And in the midst of my crying and weeping and the choir singing, she spoke to me.
What did you want to know?
Well, I wanted to know why she gave my chicken and dumplings to the town drunk called Ned.
I hope she answered you.
She did. She told me that she was sending up her timber. So by doing good works every day, my grandmother was sending up a little timber for her heavenly home.
Where is heaven?
Oh, I don't know. It's in a dimension that I can't explain.
Somewhere up there.
Well, up there, but heaven is in another dimension, so you don't necessarily have to look up, but you can look out and see heaven. Heaven is a fourth dimension, if you will, but don't look down.
Is it possible that if heaven is this wonderful, that it gets boring?
No. No. Because every day can be different. The interactions between the spirits, the roaming of the universe with God, and you move from place to place, but each place represents something even more beautiful, even more peaceful, even more desirable.
All right, that's Calvin Butts of Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem. We'll hear a little bit more from him in a moment. What do you think? I mean, these are the answers initially from the Christians. We've had an evangelical, Pastor Ted Haggard, a Roman Catholic, Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, and now Calvin Butts, kind of from the Baptist persuasion on heaven. What struck me about his comments there, he told the story about his grandmother doing good works, helping the poor and the homeless. And the phrase he used there several times was that she was sending up a timber. Sending up a timber. And when it asked to explain it, his explanation is, well, when she was doing good works, each little work was sending up a timber for her heavenly home. Now, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. If you want to extend the analogy or the metaphor, Jesus is building the place. Is he running out of wood? Is that the problem? He doesn't have enough lumber for the job and we have to provide it for him with our good works? It's not that different. In fact, it's not different at all. Not different in any way whatsoever from Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. Each good work, he says, God is watching everything you do and he's keeping track and he's keeping score. He's kind of like Santa Claus and he's planning to reward you for every good thing that you do. You're earning heavenly rewards by your good works. That's entirely up to you. Jesus will get you in the door, but the rest, you know, where you live, how good your accommodations are, how nice of a car you drive, I don't know, in heaven, are entirely up to you what you do in this life. That's the picture Rick Warren pictures, and it's not that different from Calvin Butts' dear old grandmother doing good works because she thought she was sending up a timber for her heavenly home, given another brick, another little piece of wood, another 2x4 up there, building her heavenly home. Oddly enough, we'll hear a little bit later from a Jewish rabbi who says, the good works we do here in this life should not be done in view of a reward. If you do them in view of a reward or in fear for punishment, they're not good works. They may help your neighbor, that's all fine and good, but they're not good works in God's eyes. Odd, that's what the Bible says too. More audio from Barbara Walters, Heaven, Where Is It? How Do We Get There? Our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Still hearing from the Christians on the subject, one more short piece from the Reverend Calvin Butts of Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem.
In this world,
you will have tribulation. And it gets awfully dark sometimes. But beloved, you can make it if you've got a vision of heaven.
It represents eternal hope. That there is a better place than this. Because at those moments of greatest trials and tribulations, a view of heaven would make things so much better, so much quicker.
I have to agree with that. Really. I mean, that is the hope expressed by St. Paul in one of his epistles where he says, you know, I would just gladly depart and be with the Lord. But it's necessary for you that I remain. He wants, I think it's in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy. He wants it to be over with. He has, in a human sense, had enough. And he would gladly, he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I would gladly depart. But since I'm still here, I'm here for your sakes. So I agree with that. Now, let's pause here for a moment and ask the question. Since we've heard from Ted Haggard, an evangelical, Cardinal McCarrick, a Roman Catholic, and Calvin Butts, kind of from the other side of Protestantism, what do you think? How do you think the Christians answered the questions? What is heaven? Where is it? How do you get there? How do you assess it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And we'll have on the other side of the break, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a Muslim imam, a Jewish rabbi, two Jewish rabbis, I believe. And that might be it for today. Here's Tim. He calls from his car. Tim, welcome.
Hey, thanks. I just was hoping that someone would understand that it's a relationship, a personal relationship that we yearn for, not religion that we yearn for, to be with Christ. And it's not about good works. It's about our relationship with Him, accepting Christ as our Savior. I thought surely that out of all the people that Barbara had on, someone would get it right, but they all kind of came fairly close, if you can say that.
Tim, thank you. Now, I agree. If put in the terms that Tim put it, no real problem. Now, here's my red flag on the whole relationship word, the R word. When it's pitted against religion, as though religion isn't a bad word in Scripture, by the way. It isn't. In fact, the Apostle James talks about true religion. And he describes the life lived by the Christian. True religion. So religion is not a nasty word. We do, in our modern day and age, in our therapeutic age, think in terms of relationship. Now, if you're talking, we say, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if that is understood as, yes, the relationship that He has established with me, maintains, sees through to the end, with this person, Jesus Christ, that's fine. If, on the other hand, you mean Jesus is kind of your lover, your boyfriend, your fiancé, and it's up to you to maintain the relationship with Him, you got to constantly work on the relationship, lest it go sour, that's not a real good way of understanding personal relationship. When we come back, more audio from heaven, where is it and how do we get there, and open lines with your responses after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.